Good morning to you all. I greet you in the name of Jesus here this morning. This is Brother Wilmer here this morning with the devotional again. Yes, this is Wednesday morning, and I do apologize to you all. First of all, I'd like to get this off of my mind here this morning to apologize to you about yesterday morning. I found myself in a very tight squeeze yesterday morning, and thought I could still get the devotional on, but then something else showed up yet, and I was not able to. And I did feel bad about that. I struggled with it that I did not get that devotional on yesterday morning. So hopefully it goes better as the week goes on here this week. I do appreciate this ministry, and I do want to keep up my end here as well. And yes, I am excited here this morning to continue to share. Shared a little bit on Monday morning here on the verse in Matthew 22:37, where Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." There in Matthew 22:40, where it says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," that's saying a lot. I believe that is saying that if we take the entire Bible, and if we really want to know what the entire Bible is all about in one short or in several short sentences, it can be explained here what the Bible is all about. It's about loving the Lord our God and to love those around us. Now, that I found that interesting to recognize that this seemingly is God's heart in the entire Bible. If I don't know why I'm saying if. Okay, so this is the entire heart. This is the heart of God, the Father, our Creator, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is their hearts in this. So if that, and so with that in mind, then I think that this could be looked at in a deeper way. I mentioned the other morning that we could look at this verse, "To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." We could just look at that as with everything that's within us. However, I have come to believe after studying a while that there is a greater and a deeper meaning that can be taken out of this, and probably many more. Just to look at the heart, the soul, and the mind here a little bit this morning. The heart, the seat of the affections and passions, as of love, joy, grief, enmity, courage, pleasure. The heart is deceitful above all things. Every imagination of the thought of the heart is evil continually. We read of an honest and a good heart, and an evil heart of unbelief, a willing heart, a heavy heart, sorrowful heart, a hard heart, a proud heart, a pure heart. The heart faints in adversity or under discouragement. That is, courage fails. The heart is deceived, enlarged, reproved, lifted up, fixed, established, and moved. And the list goes on. I find it very interesting. The heart truly is a very strong member of each person. And God recognizes that. The Bible mentions the heart 806 times. I've come to believe that the heart is the strong man of the house. Now, this morning I wasn't sure which is in what area I wanted to share on, and I'm not exactly sure always, or I'm not exactly sure here which comes first. I guess I'll read some more findings here, and the next one would be on the soul. The soul is the spiritual and rational and immortal substance in man, which distinguishes him from brutes, meaning it makes him different from the animals. That part of man which enables him to think and reason, and which renders him a subject of moral government. The immortality of the soul is a fundamental article of the Christian system. Now, here's something that I want to read yet that really grabbed my attention. Such is the nature of the human soul that it must have a God, an object of supreme affection. I found this very interesting. So the soul of man has been created by our Creator, by God, that we as a soul must and do have a God. Now, there may be some people that would argue that, but we are created in such a way that we do have a God, whether we believe that or not. Either we have God the Father in heaven as our God. If we do not have that, we have something else that is our God. And, you know, when we look at that, well, I'll go on to the mind. The mind is the intellectual or the intelligent power in man, the understanding, the power that conceives, judges, or reasons. So we have three very important parts here of how we are made. In one place in the Bible, it speaks about how we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Now, it does seem like the heart and the soul and the mind are intertwined or very closely working together here in the human body. However, it does seem like they all have a different function in our lives. Now, it's interesting because if we look at these three, a person would not be able to go on with only two of these. We would all agree that a person with a heart or with a heart that stopped working cannot live. And we all know that if the soul leaves the body, that the body is completely dysfunctional. In other words, that person has died because the soul has left. Now, a person without a mind such a person can't go on either. So I started to see here that God created us in His image. In the Bible, the more I studied, I realized that God speaks about His own heart. God, in some of the verses in the Bible, speaks about His own heart. In other places, He speaks about His own soul, which I found that very interesting. And in other parts, you can read about God speaking about His mind. So I found it interesting. God said in Genesis, and He was speaking to someone when He said this, and I imagine He was speaking to Jesus. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. The image of God created He them. Male and female created He them. And it goes on to say in Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them. So it does seem like in one thing that we see here, that He created us in His image, is that we have a heart, we have a soul, and we have a mind. But the other thing that I found interesting here is, and I started noticing this throughout the Bible, is many different places where we can see how God created us in His image. Now, His image, what is His image? That can be taken in more than one way, but the one way that we can look at it is Jesus many times here on earth said, "I do only the will of my Father," or He would have said, "I only speak what the Father gives me." In everything that Jesus did while He was here on earth, He pointed everything towards His Father. He was the image of His Father. However, Jesus revealed the image of His Father to us, and in the same time, Jesus was the image of His Father. But what I want to get out of that is Jesus, or God the Father, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost always agreed together. They were always one, and they always functioned together. And if we stop and think here this morning, and we think, if they would quit functioning together, if God the Father, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Ghost would quit functioning together, if they would stop functioning together, what would happen? You know, when I realized that, it was, I think we all know that will never happen. We trust our Father so far. We trust Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost so far that will never happen. We know that will never happen. But if we stop and think about it, when we think of all that God has done, the vast creation, the vast universe, the vastness of it all, and all the people on the earth, and we can just, our thoughts can go on and on and on. If God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost would come to a point where they would no longer function together, what would the end result of that be? And we know that that is not something that will happen. We trust, our trust in him is so great that we know that that would just never happen. However, the main thrust of this week here and is to speak about what happens in man when the heart and the soul and the mind do not work together. Now we know that when either one of these, the three, the heart, the soul, or the mind, would leave a person, that person would be done. So I'm not talking about that at this point right now. I'm talking about what if there's a disagreement between the heart and the soul and the mind. What if there's civil war going on within a person? What happens? You know, we live in a day when psychiatric wards are full. Mental hospitals are full to the brim. People have come to a place, you know, they're asking, should we build more buildings? Should we build bigger buildings? And these places are full with people. And I believe they are full with people that have disagreements going on within them. You know, we cannot imagine our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost to be at odds with each other or to disagree with each other. And when we think about if that even would be possible, what a chaos that would be. But that is exactly what happens inside man. When the heart and the soul and the mind are in disagreement or in civil war with each other, a person cannot go on that way. So I believe there's a very real reason here why God and Jesus, every time when they talked about loving God our Father with all of our heart, it always started with the heart. They always mention the heart first. I believe the heart is the strong man here. Unless the heart surrenders to God, unless the heart surrenders to his maker, the mind of that person, unless the heart surrenders to God, the mind will never be restored. Excuse me, the mind will never be renewed and the soul will never be restored. If the strong man of the house is not taken, then it will be almost impossible for that person to ever have a new mind, to see things in a new way, and to have his soul restored. I think that's a problem here about as far as I will go here this morning. But I would just encourage us all, is there anything better to surrender our hearts to than to his own Creator? If there's a turmoil going on within us, and we know that there's a turmoil going on within us, and we know that the battle rages within us this morning, I would just plead with us all, let us come to a place where we willingly and gladly surrender our hearts, completely surrender our hearts to our Heavenly Father, and allow Jesus to have his way within our hearts here this morning. Our Father in heaven knows what's best for us. He wants the very best for us. and this is his longing. He knows that this is the way that he confronts us. To reason with this kind of thought, do we know of anyone that ever exceeded the power of our God? So if we do not know of anyone that ever exceeded that, anyone or anything, so why not surrender to the strongest and the highest power ever? Why not be best friends with the strongest and the highest and the strongest source that there is? We do not need to fear. There is one thing, there is one place that we do not have to fear to completely surrender our heart to, and that is into the hands of our living, loving Heavenly Father. That is one place where we can allow ourselves to surrender. So, yes, I do not want to drop the subject here this morning, but I would just like to plead with us all that we could just come in surrenderedness and in brokenness to our Heavenly Father, and to surrender into His will, into His ways, in the ways of righteousness. I just wish you all a great day. Look forward to taking this up again in the morning, tomorrow morning. And yes, we'll continue on then. Wishing you God's blessings.